Benedict and I represent a ministry called Spirit of Grace Ministries. We sponsor African missions in Nigeria and Kenya, where we provide free medical clinics, food for widows and orphans, and conduct evangelistic ministry, lifting up Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We also create Bible teaching videos and audio recordings like this one, because we believe that the Word of God changes lives. We would appreciate your support. If you'd like to help us reach out to the nations of the world, go to our website, spiritofgrace.org, and click on the donation button on the left sidebar. Once again, our website is www.spiritofgrace.org. Today we'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah has so many good thoughts in the book. I like to mark up a new Bible with red markings whenever I come across a verse that seems to speak powerfully to me. And when I was going through Isaiah not long ago, I was just marking up verse after verse after verse. There's just so many good things in there that seems very powerful to me. So we're going to look at one of the ones that I consider incredibly important and powerful. Isaiah 43, verse 11, God says, "I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me, there is no Savior." No Savior but me. Well, there's a word that kind of speaks to this whole concept that I am the only Savior, and that word is exclusive. I am the exclusive Savior. If there's one of a kind, and it's the only thing you can get that's even close to that, then you say, well, that's the exclusive. So God says, I'm the exclusive Savior.
Yeah.
Now, when you think about saviors, you could use a capital S or a small s. For example, let's say I fall off of a cruise ship and I'm in the water about ready to drown, and somebody dives in with a life preserver and swims over to me and hands it to me, and they help me to get back onto the ship. Well, it would be right to say, thank you, sir, or ma'am, thank you for saving me.
Yeah.
They were a savior, weren't they?
Yeah. He will be considered a savior to you at that moment.
Right. Mm. But that would be a lower class S, a small S, not a capital S.
Right.
God says, I'm the only savior. And that's speaking about ultimate savior.
Mm.
We have many saviors. Let's say a child is half starving in some village in some very poor country. Some American comes over and takes an interest in the child and adopts him, takes him back to America, feeds him well, gives him an education. And years later, he's now got a good job. He's healthy. He's happy. He's got a nice family. And they say, how did all this happen? He said, well, a man or a husband and wife came over from America. They adopted me. I would have probably been dead within a year or so. I had nothing. They adopted me. They fed me. They educated me. They helped me. They loved me. And I am where I am today because of them. So once again, they were a savior, but not the ultimate savior. There's only one ultimate savior, and that is God. And of course, when we say God, we also mean his son, Jesus Christ, because Jesus is God's salvation plan and the means. So again, we're talking about exclusivity. There's only one ultimate savior.
Yeah.
And we Christians are convinced of that because the Bible says it so plainly that there's just no getting around it. Now, a lot of people don't like us for that. They say, oh, you're too restrictive, you're too intolerant. You're saying that out of all the religions of the world, Christianity and specifically Jesus Christ is the only Savior. You're putting everybody else down. What do you say to that?
Well, I'll say that, Bible is true, and we believe the Bible, and in John chapter 14, the Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
And Jesus said that.
Jesus said that. And in the Old Testament, God is telling us, it's me, there is no other God, and then that can save you, or, that is our Savior. And Jesus in the New Testament was telling us in John 14 that he is, the way to heaven. He is the truth about God. He is, life, when you want to get life and life in abundance, life, everlasting life, there is no other way you can get that except through Jesus Christ, who is God, you know, in the spirit, who came in the flesh to save us.
Right.
You know, the understanding in the midst of all the misunderstanding is what this other, this whole thing is all about. If we can understand what is going on, we will understand that Jesus is, you know, actually the you know, way, the truth, and the life, and who he said he is.
Yeah, and when we believe that, which we do because we evangelical Christians are Bible believers, we believe the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We believe when we read it, we're reading the words of God. And when, like you said, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You don't get to the Father except through me. Mm-hmm. We believe that. And what it does, it gives you a heart for evangelism. You want to win people to Christ because you're convinced he is the only way, and it motivates you. Now, if I believe there were many roads to God, many different paths, and all religions are fine, just as long as you try to be a good person. If I really believe that, I wouldn't be in any big hurry to evangelize or win souls or do missions. There would be no real point. You know, they've got their religion. Let them be a good person. They'll go to heaven just like me. My way is Christianity. Their way is this other way. But they're all going to lead to God. If I believe that, then I'd just leave everybody alone. But we Christians have never believed that and never will. And the reason is very simple. The Bible makes it so clear. Right here, the verse you quoted, and we'll mention a couple of other verses. Really, when people find criticize us for being intolerant, they criticize us for being bigoted or biased, blame the Bible. Mm. Don't blame us. We're just Bible believers, and we just read the Bible and believe what it says. And of course, we don't just believe it. We're convinced of it. And therefore, believing that, if I have a neighbor, if I have somebody I know that doesn't know Christ— my biggest goal for them is that they might come to know the same Jesus that I know so that they can live forever, because he is the only Savior, and that's with a capital S. Many people can save you from many things in a small way, but there's only one Savior with a capital S that can save you from death and hell and misery ultimately, and that is Jesus Christ. Your thoughts?
Yeah, only Jesus can save. We understand that, and we know that. And that is, you know, based on the biblical teaching and based on the understanding of the Word of God, you know, by the leading of the Holy Spirit and the interpretation of the, you know, through the Holy Spirit. We come to understand that things went wrong, and only Jesus came to correct it, and we understand that what he did was the final, you know, walk when it comes to us.
Right.
You know, and he saved us.
Mm-hmm.
And today we are the righteousness in Christ. And he's like, I am the way to heaven. He was like letting us know that we came from somewhere. We are not just people that came from nowhere and dwelled, you know, we are dwelling on this earth. Anybody that dies, we, you know, bury him in the ground, and that's the end of him or her.
Yeah, the secular view, which is we're just an accident with no real meaning or purpose, and we die, and that's the end of us, right? He was telling us there is purpose, there is meaning. God created us, and the same God that made us says, here's how you be saved. Here's how you can live with me forever.
Right.
So God has a plan, and he wants us to live with him forever. He wants us in his family, and he wants that a million billion years from now, we're going to still be with him, enjoying him, and he will be enjoying us, which is kind of an amazing thought. We'll be living forever.
Mm.
So, and Jesus says, I'm the only way. So the world, these days, they just don't like that idea at all, that Jesus is the only way. Now, if we would say, well, Jesus is my way, and you may have your way, and we could just accept everybody and every religion, they'd be happy with that. They'd be fine. You do your little Christian thing, I'll do my thing, and we'll see you in heaven. We don't believe that. And it changes the way we think, the way we talk, the fact that we do missions, the fact that we evangelize. It changes everything because of this exclusive nature of God and Christ. He says, I'm the Lord. There is no other Savior but me. And Jesus says, I'm the only way. I'm the only truth. I'm the only life. There's nobody but me. And let me just quote another verse. This is from Peter preaching in the book of Acts. And he says, as he's preaching to basically a Jewish audience, he says, there is, nor is there salvation in any other. You know, he's mentioned that Jesus is the way to be saved. He says, nor is there salvation in any other. Mm. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved.
Right.
So what is he doing? He's just basically repeating what Jesus said in John 14. Mm. Jesus said, I'm the only way, truth, and life. And now Peter is saying, there's no other name.
Mm.
You know, you can name a lot of names of religious leaders and people that had started movements, spiritual movements, religious movements, philosophical movements. But Peter is saying there is no other name under heaven given among men. You name him. You name the religion. You name the religious leader. He says none of them will get you saved. None of them will get you into heaven. None of them will get you justified before a holy God. There's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name, and that is the name of Jesus. Mm. Again, Peter believed what Jesus said. And it's really exactly what Isaiah said. I am the Lord. There is, besides me, there is no Savior.
Mm.
There's no other Savior. And, you know, people often, they seem to want any other Savior except for God. And I have to admit, I was that way. When I was a young person in my mid to upper, later teens, until I gave my life to Christ at age 19, I wanted anything except Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't cool enough for me. Jesus was what my mom and dad believed. Jesus was for the older people, the conservative people. I would have given anything if any other philosophy, any other way of approaching God would have been correct. So I avoided Jesus as much as I could for as long as I could. But finally, the Spirit of God came on me and moved me to read the New Testament. And I got saved and I found out that what mom and dad believed was exactly right, that Jesus was the only way.
You can see condensed video versions of my devotional studies on YouTube. The graphics and the scripture verses displayed on the screen make these video devos an experience that will bless, uplift, and instruct you. Go to the YouTube website and type in my name, Dennis Pollack, and you'll quickly find our YouTube channel.
So Peter's preaching here, and he's saying, once again, what we evangelicals have always believed, which is there is just exactly one way to God, and that is through Jesus. Like it or don't, criticize us or leave us alone. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep saying it. We're going to keep shouting it. We're going to keep singing it. We're going to keep preaching it. We're going to keep declaring that Jesus is the only way.
Jesus even commanded us to, you know, go into the world and be a witness of him.
Right.
In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says, I don't know each time I go back there, but that place is like telling us, you know, you shall receive power.
Yep.
After the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit has come upon you.
Right.
And you will, you know, be my witnesses. In Jerusalem and Judea, in the uttermost part of the world. And so Jesus is letting us know that he is, you know, who he said he is, and he has done tremendous work, and, you know, to show us, like, yeah, this is me. And this is like God who came to live among men to save, you know, us from death and condemnation and everlasting destruction. And into everlasting life. And it's like, you will go and be a witness of what I've done, a witness of me. And, you know, so we believe what the Bible is teaching us, that this is like a great teaching. Even when God gave Moses the commandment, he said, you shall not worship no other God except me.
Right.
And that is like letting us know that there is no other God that deserves worship. I don't share my glory or my worship with any other.
Right. Bible says God is a jealous God.
God is a jealous God. You know, if you leave the Creator and begin to worship the creation, that is wrong. You know, there is something wrong with that. Where he's like, you know, you worship me only. And then, you know, I don't really... No, what is so difficult in understanding this?
Well, Yeah, it's a good point. You know, most of us evangelicals think exactly the way you just described. It's like, well, what don't you get? You know, the Bible's so full of it. What we don't realize is most of these people that criticize us for being too intolerant and so forth, they don't read the Bible. They don't believe the Bible. They don't hold to the Bible. They don't even know what's in the Bible, really. They have a few vague ideas. And so we come from a totally different mindset. They don't know the Bible. They don't love the Bible. They don't read the Bible. We know the Bible. We love the Bible. We read the Bible. We have Bible studies all over the place. We go to church and hear the Bible. We go to home groups and have Bible studies. We read the Bible at home on our own. So our mindset is totally different. Now, what our mindset conforms to is what God says in His Word. But of course, we believe it is His Word, whereas they don't. So yeah, we're like, well, what don't you get? Why do you find this so hard? It's just so clear in the Bible. And when they criticize us, you know, a lot of times I get frustrated with Christians that are being interviewed on TV or whatever that don't have a very good response when people ask questions like, well, what about this group or what about that group or what about my grandma? She was a nice, sweet lady. She was not a Christian, but she was so sweet. Are you saying she's in hell? And the answer is we say what the Bible says. Some people say, well, I'm not anyone to judge about whether who's in hell. Well, I can tell you this much. If they don't believe in Christ, they're lost. And they're going to go to that place the Bible calls the outer darkness or the second death, whatever that involves. And it's a bit of a mystery, but whatever it is, that's their destiny. Now, listen to what John says in his epistle. And John, keep in mind, was the apostle closest to the Lord. I mean, he identifies as the one whom the Lord loved. So there was a close relationship. He was the youngest of the disciples, of the apostles. And Jesus seemed to almost kind of have a fatherly feel for him or a fatherly affection for him. Anyway, John says this, God has given us eternal life. And this is 1 John 5, verse 11 and on. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So God has given eternal life, and it's found in his Son, Jesus. He says in verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So he's just saying it real plain. If you've got the Son, you've got life. You've got eternity. You're going to live forever. You've got an amazing, incredible future if you've got the Son. But he says he that doesn't have the Son, or she that doesn't have the Son, the person who has not the Son has no life. So we're born without life, without spiritual life, that is. We're physically alive, of course, but spiritually we're dead. We're born in trespasses and sins, as the Bible declares. So when we're growing up, we have no life until we meet Jesus and get born again. And then we get life. He that has the Son has life. If you live without the Son and you die without life. That's why Jesus said, if you don't believe in me, you'll die in your sins. You'll die with all your sins attached to you, and you'll face judgment. You'll face that second death. But if you receive Christ and are born again, you get life. So if you have the Son, you've got life. If you don't, you don't have life. And it's real easy for God to figure out who's his. Some people think when we stand before God, he's going to scratch his head and try to decide whether we've been good enough, whether our good deeds outweigh our bads. Well, let's see. You did some good over here, but boy, you weren't very nice in this situation. Let me just kind of weigh your good deeds versus your bad, and let's just see if you really qualify for heaven. No, that's not it at all. God looks down upon this world, whatever country, whatever continent, whether Africa, America, Asia, South America, wherever. And he sees some people that have the Son and they have life, and other people that don't have the Son and they have no life. So there's no head scratching for God when we stand before him. He immediately will know, this one is mine. They received my Son, and this one is not mine. They went through their whole 82 years or 90 years or whatever amount of years they had, and they never received my Son. They never put their faith in Jesus and got born again. They have no life. Doesn't matter how good they tried to be, whether they worked at a homeless shelter or did all kinds of nice deeds. They don't have my Son. They don't have life. And of course, they would be qualified as those who Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me. So you get the Son, you get life. Final words.
Well, my final word will be, I'm kind of, you are rightly, you know, spoken, and I agree with what you said as well. So when it comes to having life, you know, like you said, when we were born, everybody were born in sin, you know?
Yeah.
And Jesus now has given us a new life. Even he declared it in, you know, John chapter, the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world.
Right.
So that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So the everlasting life is really why Jesus came. And it's like, if you believe in him, if you come to him, if you have, you know, your life in him, you have everlasting life. There is no, you know, don't get it twisted. There is no other way that one can have the life that Jesus gives except in him.
Amen.